You're listening to Diablo Off the Record, brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Diablo. And by Tweaked Audio. For the best headphones money can buy, go to tweakedaudio.com. Remember to go to iTunes and rate the show if you like listening to Diablo Off the Record every week for your installment of Diablo news, builds, and hardcore challenges.
This is Diablo Off the Record. Stay a while and listen.
Welcome to Diablo Off the Record, episode 22. The record date is the night of September 22nd, 2012. Hi, my name is Dave, D-Enforce Adams. And with me tonight, as usual, is the wonderful, the illustrious, the amazing Mistress Liz LeBeau. How are you doing, Liz?
You forgot to add in the word grumpy to that title.
You know, I don't want you to be grumpy, so I'm not going to call you.
Hey, can we make up G.I. Joe names for us?
Yeah, what do you want to be?
I don't know. I was thinking about some with pigtails for you.
What could possibly a G.I. Joe with pigtails? Like,
I was going to go somewhere bad with that, but I'm not going to.
You know,
God, I have to censor myself.
Sahara Pigtails Cobra, you know, something like that? No?
Wow, no.
That would be awesome.
Not at all. Send in your suggestions to diabloofftherecord@gmail.com.
Send in your hate mail to Elder Scrolls Off... No, don't worry about it.
Yes.
And we also have a guest with us today. He's actually here to kind of hold my hand through some of the explanations, keep me on track, at least during the end of the show. But I talk about him every week, and we decided, why not just let him talk about himself, you know? So with us tonight is Steve, whose in-game name is Kete, as everyone knows and loves him.
Yeah, man.
All right, welcome, and congrats on that bowl, or whatever it was, falling.
That's the cat. I'll fix it.
No, it's all right. Don't worry about her. She's good. So, welcome tonight. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's kind of awkward seeing as how we've already been talking to each other for a while.
Yeah.
I actually believe that Kete did not exist for a long time. I thought you were making him up, Dean.
I still am.
Really?
Yes, I actually have two computers right now. Like, I'm speaking into one with my normal voice, and then I change my voice into, like, this girly chick voice, and go into the one that I have set up as Kete.
That's just mean. Are you going to let him do that to you, Kete?
You know... He can say whatever he wants. I have a girlfriend, and he doesn't, so...
Oh.
Dang!
Damn. Oh. Slaps down. That's okay. You ask his girlfriend, she's like, I own them both.
Oh.
She sure does.
Yeah, I don't fight with her. But let's talk about our weekend game. Steve, I'm going to set you aside for just a moment, and we will get to you and actually get into your... gaming career, but I just wanted to ask Liz, how was your week? Anything special?
I don't even remember. I can barely remember what happened about 5 minutes ago, let alone my week. But I heard you had some car problems.
I did have some car problems. I was driving home, and my car decided that it was all like, oh, sweet, a parking space. But it decided the parking space was in the middle of a intersection with cars coming. So
did a belt break or something? Because that's the only thing I can think of that would actually stop your car immediately.
Apparently hitting my brakes caused it to power down, sputter, and die.
Hitting your brakes.
Yeah, found out that it's probably the alternator or the cables connecting the alternator to my battery.
Yes. So. I've had that happen. God, I've had so many car problems that I could... just identify it. Wow.
Yeah, Steve hates my car. So
I hate the car too because that sucks. Was he with you?
No,
no. We lived near each other.
Luckily, nobody got hurt. It was just me. So it was it happened as best it could for a bad situation, which...
I mean, that's a really bad place to have that happen.
Yeah.
I've been on a highway, but I've been able to pull over and everything. Well, that's why I always drive.
I threw it in neutral and got it to, just drive over to the edge and eventually got it home and have been working on it, but, it's...
Did you actually drive it? Did you get somebody to battery or...
Yeah, I have a new battery in it. The battery, I guess it killed the battery or whatever it was. And so I have a new battery in it. It has an 8-year warranty on it, so I'm all happy about that. Anyway, but enough about me and Liz. I know, Liz, I want to chastise you again for cheating on us with SWTOR.
But I didn't mean to. They called me and, they called for a booty call, I guess.
Yeah, well... That's cheating on me with SWTOR. I'm mad.
Aww. Yeah. I'm so now mentally invested in your car story, and I'm like, well, if it was an alternator, it's going to do that to the battery again.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So, anyway, let's go ahead and get to our guest of the night. Steve, do you want to go through the list of games you've completed? I want to hear a little bit about your backstory in gaming.
Wait, how long is this list going to be then?
This show is going to be cut into three parts. The first two are his gaming credentials.
Wow. Okay.
It's quite long. I'm not going to go into all of it.
That's what she said. Oh!
Gosh, I was going to say that, and I was like, I better not.
I got it first. Go for it.
Yeah. So I've played games my whole life. Remember playing Super Mario Bros. On the Nintendo and the Sonic on the Sega Genesis. And, of course, I've continued to play games on through, mostly console games, on through Final Fantasy VII, and I have a PS3 now. I play PS3 games.
I actually thought when you said, I've played games all my life, I started out with, I was going to say, like, hide and go seek or whatever. Peekaboo? You started out with peekaboo? Sorry. That was retarded.
No, Steve, ever since I've known him, like, our little clique in high school... was, like, all the different types of gamers.
Was that... I don't think... That wasn't even a clique when I was in high school. That wasn't a thing. They were called the AV Club. Oh, you were in the AV Club! I heard you say that!
We both were! Oh, my God!
Those guys!
Yeah, we were WDTV.
No, WTTV. Yeah. Sorry. The Woodham Titans Television. Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, it was fun.
You were those guys.
We were those guys. And we were... I loved... High school was hilarious.
High school.
Anyway, but... me and Steve have been playing so long. We played everything. Like, probably one of our favorite games that we've played with together with high school was... Well, we did Guitar Hero a lot. Right, Steve? We even went into a competition and lost horribly.
That is true. Yeah. But I got a job out of it.
And I got a job out of you getting a job out of it.
Indeed.
And let's see, what else? Let's see. What was the game that you need to tell the story of Not David?
Not David. Okay, Not David is from a game on the GameCube called Tales of Symphonia. This game has... It's a normally a one-player game. And it's like a side-scrolling battle thing, mm-hmm. where you have four characters, and you can opt to have some of the characters be controlled by the computer. And David was playing with us, and he absolutely refused to heal anyone, and we all died. Then we flip him onto the computer, and the computer heals us. So we're like, man, Not David is a lot better than David.
I was on the phone with my girlfriend at the time and flipped myself into NPC mode, and I can't control just because that NPC likes to use things that I don't particularly care for.
Yeah, well, that NPC helped us to not die, and you didn't, so...
Alright, well, is there any other major games? Like, I want to hear, specifically dungeon crawlers. Is there anything along the lines of Diablo 3 that kind of resembles it that you've enjoyed?
Well, I've played Gauntlet and Baldur's Gate, I suppose, is also a dungeon crawler. But again, those are console games. As far as PC games that are dungeon crawlers, not really.
Well, there's been games I know you played, like PSO.
Yes, I don't know if I would call that a dungeon crawler,
oh,
but yes.
It's definitely a dungeon crawler.
I've spent, you know, I think I've had over 5,000 hours logged into that game throughout my life.
How about Persona? How many hours have you had into that?
Oh my god. I know I played at least 100 hours in Persona 3 Fez Edition, and you know what? That was far more than I wanted to spend on any RPG type game ever.
Well, how many hours have you put into Diablo, though?
Oh, you know, I'd actually have to look. I know I'm right now, I am at 200 plus hours on my wizard.
Well, geez, 200 plus hours on one character.
You have more than that.
I have more than that spread out over my different characters, absolutely, but I only have, like, what, 150 hours on my one character?
I'm pretty sure you have over 200 hours on your Barb. I can't get to it right now, but...
If you say so.
I'm quite sure.
Okay. Well, I know Kete's the only person other than me that I know who can treat games like, you know, mean... Kete won't even play a game unless it has New Game Plus in it.
You know, a game that doesn't have New Game Plus is almost not worth playing. Now,
I don't even know what that is.
That, like, where you complete a game, it lets you start over. Like in Diablo, how you can start over at the beginning of Nightmare.
Really?
After beating normal.
Wow. Okay.
It lets you go back and pwn things, kill everything in one hit, and it can't hurt you.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Right, but there's games out there that won't let you do that. Like, you beat the game, you're at the end of the game, it won't let you put you back at the beginning.
And it's crap.
Yep. Oh my goodness, what a waste! Oh, you know, why in my day?
Alright, enough talking about Christmas shopping. Which, by the way, is how I shop for Kete. I have to look and make sure the game has New Game Plus.
Yeah, which last Christmas he didn't even get me one that had New Game Plus. So.
Oh my god, I got you Final Fantasy!
No, you got... What is that thing called?
You got your friend's gifts? Gosh.
Yeah. Something Fantasia, I think.
Ark Rise Fantasia.
Yes, and it did not have New Game Plus. It had Endgame.
And you loved it.
Yeah, but it still didn't have New Game Plus. That's why it's a 9 and not a 10.
Boys, there you go.
All right, well, that's enough about the credentials as well as our weekend game. Let's get into the sponsorship. The first sponsor we have this week is Tweaked Audio. Top quality headphones and top quality earbuds, right, Kete? Lifetime guarantee on them. Off the record, all one word at checkout gives you 30% off of all the items in the cart. That brings their cheapest headphones down from $19.99 to $12.99. And they have some great colors, like, you know, fluorescent pink. I think they have just normal white and black. But they also have one, you know, it's kind of a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Woody.
Woody. It's a very woody color. Wood. Yeah, they don't call it wood. I think it's called, like, natural or something, but it totally is wood.
No, it's wood.
It's wood. Don't let them trick you. It's wood. Also, today we have a second sponsor, Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is, well, one of the many Doctor Who collections of books that they have on Audible.com. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Diablo. That's audiblepodcast.com/Diablo and sign up for free.
Oh, and they're narrated by some of the Doctor Who cast as well.
You know what, Liz? Go for it. This is all you. Tell us about them.
No, well, they've got like Arthur Darvill, who was Rory on the new season. Well, last season.
Who's
and,
my favorite character of their own.
Me too, besides Riversong.
Yeah. Steve yeah, is and, like, I'm not a fan.
You know what, Steve? Give me your nerd card. Give it!
You can have it. I still don't like the English accent.
Hand it over. I'm rubbing it on my butt now, and then I'm going to hand it back to you, okay?
Yeah, and I'll still like that better than the English accent.
Oh, my goodness. You're so... I want to be English so bad. I want to be British. Excuse me. I'm really, like, yeah, my end game of life is going to be moving to England. I want to be
wow.
so
you,
bad.
You got to be somewhere, don't you?
Well, I want to... run around and solve crimes with Sherlock and travel in the TARDIS.
You know, Steve would be okay with that. Steve would be okay with Sherlock, but
Sherlock is so good.
You know what we need to do? We need to check if Sherlock is on there. Next time we have an Audible podcast commercial, if they have Sherlock books, I'm totally calling out Sherlock.
You know,
books.
They're kind of based on books themselves, don't you think?
Well,
yes, they
no,
do.
No, I mean, like, if they have the readings yes, of them. Do. Conan Doyle. All right.
God, I love making that because you really didn't think about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, be quiet. All right. Moving on. I do want to say Happy Hobbit Day, everybody. Happy Hobbit Day 2012. That's right. Today is the day. For it. Today is Bilbo Baggins as well as Frodo Baggins' birthday from the books of The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and The Silmarillion. Everyone from the Quest Gaming Network as well as Middle Earth Network is, you know, having festivities today, all of which are being archived on HobbitDay.com as well as YouTube, which include tons of music, special screenings, as well as readings from The Hobbit, including a few readings from the QGN staff ourselves.
Ooh. Yeah, nobody asked me, that's okay. Kidding.
No, they asked me and my computer just...
Aww.
Yeah, I tried doing it, like, over and over and over, but it was bad. All right. But, enough of our sponsors. Let's go ahead. What's up?
No, I have to do my Aragorn impression for Hobbit Day.
Oh, do it. It's Hobbit Day, so go okay. for it. I'm going to allow it this one time.
Let's see if anybody recognizes it. You cannot wield it. No one can. Have you heard him talk like that? I swear to God, he talks like
Are
that.
Are you making fun of Viggo?
Yes. You're, I can't. It's very hard for me to watch that movie and not laugh every time he talks, especially when he tries to raise his voice.
You're making fun of Viggo?
You cannot wield it. Come on. That was spot on, and you know it.
That was rough. Goodness.
No, it was right.
Okay. Well, that's enough of our that's enough of our sponsors and Hobbit Day. Let's actually get into our weekend game. Before we again get into Kete's game plan, I do want to say that I know I've been very critical on the monk over the past few weeks.
You think?
Just a lot of it. And I've actually put some effort into him. I've gained 2 levels.
No, what? 57?
Yeah, I'm at 57. You know what that
means?
You're
beating me.
That's right. I'm beating Liz. Steve, can I have a what on that?
If what? I hadn't been playing while you right. guys were planning out the show, then you still would be ahead of me, but I'm 57 now.
No, I'm 57, you're 56.
I thought I was
going to
fool you.
All right, now here's what I'm doing. I'm going out of my way to pick, you know, skills that give me a buff in some direction. Some way. The only 2 skills that don't give me a buff... I'm using Crippling Wave with Concussion, which also, I'm sorry, does give me a buff. Enemies that I hit inflict 20% less damage for 3 seconds, so I love it. Using Wave of Light with Explosive Light, which, by the way, is the only good Wave of Light, in my opinion.
No, there are other... Okay, go.
Okay, well, you're wrong. I'm using Breath of Heaven, which I don't really care for it because it heals you and it's on a cooldown, but it does give you a buff. For 45 seconds after using Breath of Heaven with Blazing Wrath will increase your outgoing damage of your attacks by 15%.
See, that's a good time, because 45 seconds is a significant amount of time. Not only is it significant,
but the cooldown of the skill is 15 seconds.
Well, you can also reduce that with, you know, passive.
Well, I'm not using a reducing passive. But because the buff is three times as long as the skill, I don't have to constantly be using it, but I can keep it up indefinitely. So that's cool.
That's what she said, or he said.
Is it? Gross. Moving on. Mantra of Evasion is what I'm using. I actually have a skill calculator on my phone. And I was looking through to try to find the mantra that gave me the most possible defense percentage. And apparently it tells me that Mantra of Evasion is the top one. I'm not a fan of dodge at all.
Because it doesn't work?
Well, because...
it doesn't always work? I mean, they give you chances?
It's a chance to dodge. I mean, I get it. I get what it does. You know, if you dodge, it completely negates the damage. But I just... If you don't dodge, you're still taking a ton of damage. I just don't care for setups like that. That's why I'm not a fan of crit.
That's why I'm not either. And I've decided, actually I decided this morning, and I was like, I'm going to come out and say it. I don't like anything that gives you a chance of something. I don't like it. I want to be able to rely on what I've got.
Okay, well, I think me and Steve both agree that, Steve, you don't use crit either. Well, until recently.
Yeah, I'm about to.
Well, yeah, but you're at the same thought process, right? I mean...
I don't care for it.
Yeah, I hate chance to do something. I'm a fan of let it work and work tiny. That's fine. I can collect a million of them, you know, of increases armor. That makes me happy. This one particularly, I use the rune Hard Target, which increases armor by 20%. So that makes me happy. I'm using Sweeping Wind, by the way, pretty much everybody who sent in their, I think everybody, every single person who sent in their thing was like, you better use Sweeping Wind. I'll have to look through again, but I pretty much every single one of them had that.
That's pretty funny, because I said I was using Sweeping Wind and everybody said, why are you using that? Why aren't you using something? Okay.
Well,
so this is recent. Hey.
Yeah. Sweeping Wind I'm using, and I'm also using Master of Wind just because it makes me really angry when it drops off. And Master of Wind increases it from 15 seconds, or I'm sorry, from 6 seconds to 20 seconds. So it lasts forever in comparison to what it does without this rune. And it makes me happy because it stays on, even if I'm not in the middle of a battle. I mean, it's useless without being in the middle of a battle, but it still makes me happy. Moving on. I'm using my last slot, which I know everyone would expect me to say that I'm using Seven-Sided Strike. I'm not. Oh no, right? I've broken the monk tradition.
I don't want to talk to you anymore because of it.
I know, I'm such a bad person. I'm using Mystic Ally.
Oh, how's that?
Mystic Ally with the Earth Ally rune. Now, Earth Ally, when I have Mystic Ally out, buffs my total life by an additional 10%. So that's awesome. As well, he also has the ability to create a wave of Earth, dealing 60% of my damage to an enemy.
Does it just pick the enemy at random?
Well, it does pick the enemy at random, but it also taunts that enemy to fight the Mystic Ally.
Does the Mystic Ally stay close to you? Because that's just taunting the enemy towards you.
He's just a pet, but he can take single target attacks off of you, which is really helpful. Moving on, passives. I have the three that you have to survive. I'm not even kidding now. I have One with Everything, Seize the Initiative, and Resolve, which are like the only ones that matter. So,
I'm just letting you hang with that. I'm going to let you think about that.
I'm not even kidding. One with Everything, Seize the Initiative, and Resolve. They're like the only ones that you can have and survive effectively.
Seize the Initiative is the armor one, right?
Seize the Initiative translates 100% of your dexterity into armor.
Okay. Yeah.
One with Everything
lifts up all the rest of your resistances to your highest.
Yeah, I was going to say it makes Blizzard get on its knees and beg. Because that's all that Blizzard does, is it praises one with everything. Resolve, if every time I hit an enemy, it reduces their damage by 25%.
Oh, see, what I do is I use the Swift Feet or whatever it's called, because I hate how slow the monk goes. I think it should be uber fast.
So, let's go through real quick how much extra damage and defense is coming off of this build. Crippling Wave is reducing enemies around me, reducing their damage by 20%. It's also reducing it by an additional 25% every time hit because due to Resolve. So, I'm reducing, what, 45% of enemy attacks?
Math is hard. I'm math making Kete hard. Do the math for me.
Yeah. Kete, are you muted up?
No, I'm on.
Okay.
Just well, then do my math for me.
Yeah.
It's 45%. And it's okay. Pretty good.
Yeah. So, enemies are doing 45% less damage right there. My Mantra of Evasion is increasing my armor by 20%. As well as my CZ initiative is increasing my armor by my dexterity. My Breath of Heaven is increasing my damage by 15% every 45 seconds, or, well, forever. As well as my Sweeping Wind is increasing my weapon damage by 45% when it's at full stacks. My Mystic Ally, which I'm not really counting as adding in, but he also deals 40% of my weapon damage every time he does a swing. I'm sorry, 60% of my weapon damage.
Ooh,
every time he does a swing. So if we add that together, let's say he swings as often as I do, he doesn't. But let's just say hypothetically, that's, you know, a 60 plus a 45 plus a 15. So that's 120% extra damage all the time. So I'd say that's a pretty good build.
It is, but it just seems like an awful lot of work and sacrificing of awesome powers like Seven Side Strike to get that.
You know what? I completely agree.
Oh, good. I thought I was going to step on some toes there.
No, I, you are exactly right. I feel like I'm sacrificing what makes this class great just to make it survive.
Well, why don't you go in the auction house and buy some more stuff, Mr. Buyer?
I already have.
Ah! I knew it.
And it still feels so underpowered. I'm very sad.
We want the monk to rise up to greatness.
We do. The monk should be a lot more amazing than it is.
Remember when we first started and Widget was talking about how he was playing the monk?
I'll tell you right now, Widget quit this game because of how weak this monk is.
But he was pretty well. Okay.
Widget quit the game because the monk isn't where it should be. And I completely agree with him. It needs to feel better than it is. But, you know, I've gotten to a point where I can survive with it now. And if you want to check me out, you know, DN number 1737, my character's name is Yume, level 57. Check him out. That's the build I'm using. I'm not going to change it because I'm finally happy with it. So if you want to check out how I'm surviving, I'm probably going to just use that build even after I hit 60. So, for real, I like it.
Kete, do you have a monk?
Yeah, he's level 15.
That doesn't count. Well, maybe it does, I guess.
I'm in Act 2 of Normal.
And? I think I'm in Act 1 on my Barbarian in Normal.
Well, I'm kicking butt, because Monk's good at level 15.
Yeah, they are. Hey, I'm telling you, up until you get into Act 2, they are the greatest. I was having so much fun. And then, after that. Anyway.
So, Liz,
what?
We're on to you. What'd you do this week?
I spent a lot of time lurking in the forums and looking up YouTube videos about Diablo. That was most of my Diablo week. I found some where people are tracking the Real Money Auction House gold prices. It's unreal. What's going on with those?
We were actually talking about this recently. The Real Money Auction House gold prices, ever since the Paragon system has come out and people get all this new gold just flooding in, the Kete even saw it. The gold prices have plummeted. Before the Paragon system, the prices of gold were about steady at like $1.70, $1.80.
Yeah, and because that's the point when I was thinking, I was like, maybe I could put like $5 into this and get something. And then I was looking, I was like, really? Like $2 for gold? Really? No, it's like 80 cents.
We actually checked it before the show. 1 million gold is 87 cents. Ain't that right, Kete?
That is correct.
Yeah,
So,
so.
does anybody have 87 cents they want to give me?
We will get into that later.
So that was a
No,
no.
Kete, don't feed her addiction. Don't give her gold.
I'll teach her how to
Addiction? It's
fish.
just.
Yes, teach her how to
Oh,
fish.
oh
That's.
my God. Really? Well, so I did go into the game and I was looking at the auction house, the gold auction house. And you know how they got that button where it's like 1 minute left, and I saw a legendary on 1 minute left, and it was only 10,000, and I was like, okay, I'm buying it. I didn't even look at its stats. I just wanted it. And luckily enough, it had a lot of dexterity on it for my monk, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I got some. It was a set item. I think I said it was
Yeah,
legendary. It
what
was a
set
set
was
item.
it from?
Ashiri-ro-ro-ro's stuff.
Yeah.
You heard of that?
That's quite a name.
She's that guard, right?
Oh,
Who?
right.
In Act Two, she's that guard.
I think that's actually a, isn't that a craft? That ain't crafted because it's a that you don't have crafted
What?
It's a ring, right?
It's a set item, so there are a few of them.
Right, but is it a ring or
I think
what?
I got the boots. I think I got the boots. Now I started looking at other stuff that was really cheap in that same set and started bidding on it, and then I started looking at further things and realized, oh, all the rest of this stuff has intelligence as the main stat and not anything else. And I'm like, well, I really wish I would have known that before, looking at
Well,
items.
it looks. I'm actually looking at it right now. Ashira's tracks. Is that what you're using?
Oh, yeah, I forgot you could look at my stuff on the site.
Yeah. It looks like every piece of that set has a different main stat.
Oh, see, everything I had seen had a lot of intelligence on it, and that's when I started to get angry.
Yeah. The only piece that has to have intelligence on it is the shoulder piece. Looks like the gloves are strength and the pants are vitality, but you got the good piece. You're the feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the good one. That's dexterity.
How is that
So,
possible? Because I would think that a lot of them. Oh, yeah. That's weird how that works, because it's
well, because
outfitting.
they have random magic properties and.
Yeah, but. Oh, anyway.
So, what else did you do this week, Liz?
Well. I thought of a lot of weird questions.
You know what? You got me and Kete here. Bring it.
All right. Oh, well, some ideas too. One of them is I would like to have equipable stuff for my follower, and not just the rings and the amulets. I want to put like pants on. Well, I don't really want to put pants on my Templar, but if I can, to add to his stuff, I would like that just because it would get some of the crappy items out of my inventory. That's mostly why I would want that. And I started thinking about how nobody's using the blacksmith and was wondering if there was an option to maybe they could the more stuff you scavenge, you might get a chance to, and I know we hate that, but you might get a chance to add a socketed item. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, you know, before they were going to release the game, they had it set in mind that the jeweler would be able to add sockets to your gear.
Right, and that's where I got that idea because I was like, that would be so cool. I mean, if this stuff in the blacksmith just guaranteed you a socketed item, then that would be freaking awesome. Then people would actually use it, I think.
Oh yeah, I would love to be able to have a way to socket items into gear.
So, I mean, like how many gold items you scavenge? Maybe you get some special material that if you add that to whenever you're making something, it will automatically have a slot to it.
Well, you know, there is a very loud thread on the forums right now talking about ways to better the crafting experience in the game. A lot of people are talking about including a gem or another item when crafting an item at the blacksmith, and that gem or whatever special item that you could put into it it augments the gear in a way so that it kind of, you know, makes it toward a certain type of stats or
so
fixes.
Basically you put the gem that you need in there,
right? And it gives you a fixes along those lines.
Oh, you want an extra, you know, something. You want the extra oomph. I was thinking maybe the more you could actually have a chance to re-roll something you've made. So if you get something that's really crappy, you can, I don't know, scavenge something, whatnot, and then be able to... Yeah, can we redo the stats on this one just one more time, just in case? It would cost a lot of money, but...
Yeah, I could see that being a gold sink that... I don't know.
And that's the good thing, because that'll get these million, billion people that are buying stuff for millions and billions. Sorry. I should be quiet.
No, it's fine. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Because I'm all for if you had other ideas.
Yeah, they should have a topic on the D3 forums that are complaining about complaining, and we should just call it irony.
They already complain about complainers.
I know, that's why I think they need their own separate thread.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering when the game is kind of going to level out so I can feel like I'm not waiting for the next patch every time. Is that going to go on for 10 years?
You know, they do have an expansion planned for the first quarter of next year.
Yeah, but an expansion is different.
Quarter of next year.
That's different. I'm talking
no,
about
isn't.
Like
they're not going to patch this game once the expansion comes out. They're going to patch both of them.
Well, that doesn't. Oh. Seriously, you went there.
All right, Kete. I know you've been quiet over there.
Yeah, you guys are talking a lot. I can't get a word in edgewise.
You need to. Just like hop in and be like, y'all suck. Here's why. No, don't do that. Be nice. But, I want to hear about you. I want to hear a little bit about your Diablo gameplay as a whole. And then I do want to hear about any recent accomplishments that you've had or insights.
Yeah, okay, well, my Diablo accomplishments as a whole.
Yeah.
I did notice that this week I got my 200,000th lifetime kill.
Oh my god.
So what? I now have over 200,000 lifetime kills.
Well, congratulations at that.
Yeah. And I still only have the one level 60. That's my wizard. And so, I mean, my experience as a whole, I like the wizard. But, you know, now I've played with the witch doctor a little bit, and it seems like the witch doctor is so much stronger than the wizard. It's like nobody should ever play a wizard. They should just pick witch doctor. They'd be a lot stronger.
It really feels like that, doesn't it?
It does. It's horrible.
I feel like nobody should play anything but the Barbarian because it's so much stronger than anything else.
It really, like, the Witch Doctor and the Barbarian are just ridiculous.
No, not even the Witch Doctor, just the Barbarian.
No, the Witch Doctor's pretty messed up. I mean,
I've heard it's got some good stats ever since the new patch. I've heard mm-hmm. it's got a big boost.
Oh, man, it's sickening. Like, yeah. We were talking, like, I was going to have Steven just make a Witch Doctor and take all his gear off of his wizard and put it on his witch doctor.
I still might.
You should.
I bet I could be doing so much, but I could be like, right now I farm act 1 of Inferno. I bet I could be farming act 3 of Inferno if I was a witch doctor with my same gear.
Oh, easy.
As far as specifically this week goes, my week started out last week, I bought a very expensive shoulder piece with some money that I borrowed from someone. So this week I thought, man, I really want to pay that person back the money that I borrowed so that I can, move on to getting the next piece of equipment. So I went on the auction house and I bought myself a gold skin.
So you're already in debt, and you used your in-debt money.
I absolutely did. I didn't have enough to pay this person back, yeah. And so I used the money that I could have used to partially pay off my debt to buy gold skin. Now, if you guys don't know what this is, it grants you 100 extra gold fine. I'm wearing it on my character right now, so if you want to go and look, you know, you can. And, like, after I equipped this, like, I had never seen gold of 2,500 drop on the ground before. And now I get it regularly.
Did you pay this person back, who I suspect is Dian?
I wanted to pay this person back.
Oh my god!
I made the money in gusto. So much more money. I probably made 8 million gold this week. And
did you pay him back?
I wanted to, but he wasn't.
I haven't been on at the same time.
Student loan people call you.
I haven't been on at the same time that he has to get the money back. Yeah, Steve keeps complaining. You know what? Those dang Diablo loan sharks, how dare they lend out money?
Yeah, and why not to me? Why didn't my approval go through? I'm just messing with you.
So anyway, I'm ready to pay that person back whenever they get on.
Yeah, they need to get on. What a jerk.
They absolutely do, so I can get rid of this, I can clear this debt off.
They should probably do that soon, because I think you're going to spend the money on something else.
I'm thinking about it. I am.
There's some
gear that I want to buy that I'm not buying because I'm like, oh, that's not my money. That's my money that I'm going to pay that person back with. So I did that, and I did the hardcore challenge, which we'll talk about that later. But I did the hardcore challenge on a witch doctor. So I said, oh, wow, I don't want my witch doctor to die, and then I won't have a witch doctor. So I actually started a new witch doctor on, you know, in normal mode or whatever the heck you want to call it. And I made a female witch doctor. I call her Liliana.
Magic the Gathering reference.
Magic the Gathering. One of the planeswalkers is Liliana Vess.
Yeah, good reference there.
Absolutely. So I've been playing on my regular witch doctor too. She's also level 15. And one of the things about my witch doctor that really upsets me is the passive skill Jungle Fortitude. This passive skill just makes me sick because of another passive skill that the wizard has that I currently don't use, but I would certainly use this at level 60. The skill called Blur. Blur reduces damage from melee attacks by 20%. So first off, it has to be physical, and then in addition, it has to be melee. Okay, well, Jungle Fortitude gives you 20% resistance to all damage, and your pets get 20% resistance to all damage.
That is ridiculous, isn't it? That's what I mean. Like, the equivalent that you get on a wizard is so minuscule compared to what you get on a witch doctor. It's better in every way.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then in the fixes or whatever, the patch notes for 1.0.5, they say, oh, they're going to knock that Jungle Fortitude down 5%, and they're reducing all damage by 25%. So witch doctors are going to be taking 20% less damage if they use this skill. For wizards, they're nerfing energy armor by 21%, and they're reducing all damage by 24%, or 25%. So that's a net gain of 4% for wizards, and 20% for witch doctors, as if witch doctors weren't bad enough already. Okay.
Oh, don't you love it?
You guys are math nerds. Sorry for the...
We whipped out the Mathesis.
You did whip out the Mathesis.
I actually wrote a program in Excel that they say on their thing, they say, oh, if you have this much damage mitigation from your armor and this much damage mitigation from your all resist, this is your total damage mitigation. Well, I wrote something that does that, so I can actually look and say, oh, well, what's my damage mitigation? How does mine compare?
Well, why don't you make an app on so I can have it on my Android that doesn't just record what skills you have? All these skill calculators, all they do is record the skill. Can you not compare on these?
It's David's rough. Working on it. I'm actually working on a very similar calculator to what Steve is. I'm going to be putting it up on the site as soon as I figure out, you know, how to translate it into HTML. But as soon as I can, I want to put it on the site so that you can put in your own values and figure out what you get. The problem is there's a kind of a curve toward the exact number of in percentages compared to the exact number as a whole number when you're talking about resistance and armor.
But if you give a ballpark, I think that that would, you know, and specify the fact that, you know.
Well, we can give you the exact number as long as you give us the percentage.
Like, if you cursor over your item, or your armor value in the status screen, whatever you want to call it, in your inventory. You right. cursor over your armor, and it'll say a percent. Or if you go into the details, it'll say it as a percent. So we need that percent, and then if you cursor over one of your resistances, your lowest one, or whatever one you want to know about, it'll tell you another percent. So you'd have to give us both of these numbers in order for it to work.
Does that make sense, Liz?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Just making sure. All right.
I want you to make this into a phone app so that I can use it while, so I don't have to tab alt out.
Or we can put it on the site and you can just go there on your phone.
Yeah. But anyway, it's an awesome idea. Thank you for making that. Get that to us now. Chop, chop.
Well, I'm working on that. I'm almost done figuring out this. I need to add the 15% in, but I'm almost done working on my gym app as well. But that's a lot more difficult.
But what is it just tell you how much extra you're going to get with the gems or something?
To calculate out which ones are the best one to sell for profit at that very moment in time.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
Yeah.
Cute.
It tells you, should you forge your gems into the next gem up and try to sell it?
Yeah.
I kind of wish I knew that before I spent all the gold that a listener had given me.
Yeah. It'll make it easy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I think I talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. I mean, I got my all my things. But I tell you what, I did make a lot of money this week on the auction house, and just by having 300% gold find is amazing. Oh,
and you still haven't paid the loan guy back?
Yeah, I have not. But I want to recommend to everybody who has a level 60, if you have enough money to get gold skin and you can survive even without your chest piece, buy this. It's an investment, and they're cheap right now. I paid $1.4 million for them, and when I checked before the show, they were going for $700,000. So I would definitely recommend this item to everyone.
All right. Well, I'd say that's enough for our weekend game. It's been a great one. We actually have a lot of news for you. So we're going to get into the communal fire.
No, you can't say it correctly now.
I read Kete put in a phonetic translation.
I didn't even see that. I thought it was like a foreign language.
It is. Okay. It's communal. All right. We will see you there in just one moment.
Welcome to the communal fire, my friend. Have a seat. We'll share a story or two.
Welcome to the communal fire, your official and community news. First up, today we have a 1.0.5 PTR blue post. I'll tell you right now, this one's already outdated. I am going to read the whole post for you real quick, but it is outdated. I'd just like to say 1.0.5 is now live to be downloaded and tried out right now. Here's how you do it. Patch 1.0.5 will soon be available for testing, it already is, on the PTR. Once the PTR is up and ready, we'll enable posting in the PTR bug report forum so you can share your feedback and report any issues you may experience while playing. In the meantime, be sure to check out the patch in 1.0.5 PTR patch notes and information to see how to set up your PTR account. Here's how. To participate in the public test, you must have a Diablo 3 game license attached to your Battle.net account and must be in good standing. While the PTR will only be available in English, French, German, and Korean languages, accounts in all regions are enabled to participate. You will also need to create a PTR account by logging into your Battle.net account management page, and we will be enabling your PTR account creation soon. We will provide an update once it's available, and once it's up, you'll simply need to select your Diablo 3 license, and then click Create a PTR Account. After you've created your account, you'll be able to download the client from the Diablo 3 landing page, or from your game's download page in Account Management. To copy your character, the option to copy your character from your existing Diablo 3 characters from your live account to your PTR will become available on the PTR once it is live. Only one region per account can be copied at a time. However, if you choose to copy characters from your account in a different region, please note that any previously copied PTR characters will be lost forever.
Forever.
Forever. And I would like to say, do not purchase any unidentified yellow items or legendaries ever now. From now on, never ever do it. Because if anyone has the ability to go on PTR, which everyone does, if they transfer their character with an unidentified legendary or yellow item, they can identify it on the PTR and it will still be unidentified on live. They will know if it's a piece of crap item and sell it to you for an outrageous price. Do not ever purchase unidentified items.
I can't imagine buying unidentified items anyway. I'm sorry. I just don't have that much faith.
Yeah, there are some weird people out there. Don't do
it. I do like to gamble, though. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's not worth it. 1.0.5 PTR patch notes. Y'all ready for this, guys?
Y'all ready for this? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. All right, just like usual, every time we go through patch notes, anytime we break between sentences, if you have something to say, chime in. Steve, you got it?
Say what now?
If you want to chime in, chime in.
Chime in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chime in about what?
Oh my god, Steve, go back to sleep. All right. New system, Monster Power. Similar to the player in command in Diablo 2, Monster Power is a system designed to give players more control over how challenging enemies are at each difficulty. With this system, players can choose to increase the health and damage of monsters according to different power levels. And in return, they'll receive scaling bonuses to experience for heroes level 1 through 59, as well as a boost to magic find and gold find for heroes in Inferno, which will stack above the 300% cap. The option to increase monster power will be available to all players starting at level 1 in the quest selection window and can be adjusted separately for normal, nightmare, hell, and inferno difficulties. Just in case, if anyone's wondering, yes, this is totally going to be taken care of in the hardcore challenge in weeks to come. Can you imagine?
Oh, that's just evil.
Oh, yes.
Monster Power 100 challenge.
Yes.
Hey, can you do your yes voice?
No. Will never hear that again. No. All right. New event, Infernal Machine. The Infernal Machine is a device that will allow players level 60 to battle uber versions of some of the Sanctuary's most nefarious bosses. While the reward for defeating these bosses will be great, some assembly is required. Only the most powerful Nephilim can unlock the secrets to building the Infernal Machine, but once forged, the device can be used to open portals to special encounters featuring not one, but two bosses, which have been augmented from their original versions, both in terms of difficulty and appearance. Defeating each boss pair will provide players with an extra items as well as gold, and also have a chance to find components for a new legendary ring.
All right, stop right there.
Yeah.
This looks like they're saying, are they saying that you're going to fight both bosses at once? Or is it
yes.
like one and then another?
I there's two bosses at once.
Okay.
Oh, now this is
ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous. This is how it was in Diablo 2. This is called a Pandora event. Pandorum event?
Pandemonium?
Event. Pandemonium event. Thank you. I keep messing
up. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know it.
You got it right. Every time I mess it up, you always get it. Pandemonium event. In New Tristram, it was New Tristram, wasn't it?
Uber Tristram,
thank you. Yes, in Uber Tristram, there would be three bosses at a time dropped down on you, and you'd have to fight them. for a chance at amazing, wonderful items, and specifically items that could only drop there, which were pretty neat. But this was the same deal. This one, you have three different portals. Each one that you go in is going to give you two different bosses within each one portal. You defeat them, and there's a chance of them dropping one of three items, which can be pieced together to make a special ring. That was a mouthful, but that was what's going on. We had this later in the notes, but I'm going to tell you now. Players have been discovering around Sanctuary that creatures named Key Wardens have been popping up in the Draugr Oasis, Stonefort, and Silver Spire. Each drops a key, which must then be crafted into the Infernal Machine. Videos of sightings of these Key Wardens have been spawning on YouTube, but since this is just the test server, it's unclear if this is the finalized creatures, locations, or drops that will be required for the Infernal Machine's creations, as well as the Hellfire Rings. That's right, the Hellfire Rings. The Hellfire Rings plan can be found on Squirt the Peddler in Act 2. The mats for these rings can be found most likely in the zones where the Infernal Machine would take you. Hint, hint. The mats needed are Vengeful Eye, the Demon's Fang, and the Writhing Spine, as well as 50,000 gold. And there's four different versions of these rings that are possible. Okay? What Imagine version? This, Liz. Four yes, different versions.
Four different versions?
No, four different versions.
Why don't they have ring, five? Because there are five classes.
Well, because there's only three different main stats as well as vitality. So there's four different versions of the ring. The main stat rings, dex, strength, intelligence, will have 170 to 200 of your main stat, any of those. And the vitality ring will have 100 vitality as your first one. They'll also, all the rings across the board will have four random properties that could be any type of affix. It could have a chance to launch an explosive ball of hellfire every time you attack. And the icing on top of the cake, it has increased experience by 35%.
Well, that should make Kete very, very happy because he and all his 5 billion stacks of whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to tease him.
I would love 35% more experience. And I just got to say, all you people that have spent 70 million on a Leoric Signet, just, you know, take that.
Ah, you just got Kete blammed. Blam! Kete blam. All right. Moving on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Let's actually get back into the notes. General notes for this one. This is now live on the PTR for testing to see how it goes. Resplendent chests will now operate similar to elite packs in Inferno difficulty. When players open a Resplendent chest, they'll receive a reward based on how many Nephilim Valor stacks they have active at that time. Opening a Resplendent chest will now grant one stack of Nephilim Valor. Pretty neat. Major in-game events will now grant one stack of Nephilim Valor when completed by a level 60 character Inferno difficulty. Now, have we determined what we believe a major in-game event is?
I
think it's a quest, like any quest. It can be an optional quest or a mandatory quest.
I figured it would be either. I know there's little side quests that don't even give you a quest on screen. I don't think it's those, but I agree that I think it's anything that gives you an actual quest.
I got to say, that first point you brought across with the, you get it, players open a Resplendent chest, they receive a reward based on how many Nephilim Valor stacks they have. The next statement says that you get an extra stack, and I'm like, why would anybody really want to open one of those chests if they already have full Nephilim Valor stacks?
Well, because it's going to
increase reward.
Am I thinking of the wrong thing?
It's going to reset your stacks if you do that, just like killing an elite would.
And it's going to give you more. Like, if you have four stacks and you open it, you get, you know, an extra item, per se. And if you open it with five stacks, you might get two extra items.
But isn't 5 sacks the limit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so most people are not going to open anything unless they get 5. They already have 5.
No, it's just the same as killing an elite pack.
It refreshes your stacks. If you have 5 and you are on 5 minutes until your thing cools down, you open it and it refreshes it, so you now have 30 minutes.
Yeah, ah! Okay. Got it.
Yeah. All right, major in-game events in Inferno difficulty that involve a special chest or unique monster will now also drop additional loot for every stack of Nephilim Valor a player has active at the time of the event's completion. So there are certain in-game events that are going to be amazing. Experience shrines now appear in Inferno difficulty. Oh, yes. 2 new shrines have been added to all difficulty levels. Didn't we just talk about this, like, in a previous episode, saying how I'd like to see different types of shrines?
I think a lot of people were talking about it.
Okay, well, this is what I'm talking about. Empowered shrines, increase resource regeneration, and reduce cooldowns.
Oh, that's cool.
And fleeting shrine, increases movement speed and pickup radius. Sweet. Hey, Kete, more movement speed for me.
Yeah, so you can run away.
Followers, pets, and summoned creatures will no longer attack enemies that are in an idle state unless the player is within 10 yards of the enemy. Which is very good news for those people who like to hunt down pygmies. The reduction to snare effects against elite monsters has been reduced, and that's a good thing for players. Crowd control effects will now be affected by diminishing returns. It actually is going to end up being a good thing, trust me.
That now, was one of the videos I saw on YouTube about this whole thing. I don't remember if the guy was either really for or really against it. And I think they were really against it, to tell you the truth. Anyway.
You know, I saw the numbers. It actually ends up helping you. So, okay. Trust me. It's a good thing.
I trust you.
Auction House lets you now search perimeters. Will now save between switching between the gold and the real money auction house. So if you're looking for something, yeah, the perimeters that you put in for your
the software. Length times the width?
Yes. Definitely.
The parameters.
Really, Steve?
Sorry, I just thought that was hilarious. Search
May
for
I please give you a virtual like, high five?
That's like you're searching for something and you don't want to go outside the search perimeter or else you won't find it.
Aww.
Thank you, Steven. The preferred stat list is now sorted alphabetically. Hey, that's exactly what we didn't want. A button has now been added to allow players to quickly reset preferred stat filters to none.
Let me give you a golf clap for that.
Yeah, that's neat. Players can now search for plus damage on offhand items. No way.
Oh,
searching
for
affixes that are already on the item. Wow, what an improvement.
I need that for sources.
Yeah. When searching for items to purchase, an option to autofill stats based on what the player is currently wearing has been added.
Oh, I didn't read that one. Ooh, wait.
That's pretty neat. Similarly, when selling an item, you can find a find similar button, so that way you don't have to equip the item. You just put it up for sale, and it finds similar items so that you can figure out what to sell an item for.
That's pretty neat. That must be really slow, because I never thought to equip an item to try to sell it.
I know. Crazy, huh?
I feel dumb now.
Yeah, me too. Battle.net changes have come in. The friend of a friend feature for finding and adding real ID friends is now available for Diablo 3. Which is something I don't do. I don't do real ID friends much at all, so that helps. A new item delivery system has been added to allow Blizzard to send items directly to players. This could be the heralding of an in-game mail system between players. So that'll be neat.
Hint,
achievements!
Hint, my birthday's coming up in a few months.
Nice, Liz. Achievements! An achievement button has been added to the in-game hotbar. So now you don't have to press Y to get achievements to pop up.
Really? Also, a hot bar's faster than a shortcut? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. It's like, no, it isn't. Players can now link achievements in chat, which is neat. Banners!
Did you do that?
I, because it's too hard to type it out.
It shows how awesome you are.
Yeah.
Look at what achievement I have and you don't.
Hey, look at my EPN, bro.
It already pops up when you make it and you're online with the same person. Okay.
Banners! Players can now customize their banner in-game while in town. Woo! Oh, man, I was worried that this change wouldn't go through. Weren't y'all?
Dan?
It gets better. Hang on. It gets better. It gets better. Each banner reward type now has a subcategory to organize them by the content in which they were rewarded.
Dan?
Oh, my. Oh. No, it gets better. You ready?
I actually like this next one.
New unlocked banner rewards are now highlighted so they can be found more easily.
I like that.
Oh my, I know, but can you believe that we have lived this long without it?
I can't believe they would never put, they didn't put that in the game in the first place. Every other game does something like
that. I'm telling you right now, I'm no longer going to be farming. If I join someone's game, I'm just going to be working there playing with my banner.
Yeah, and then you're going to be making fun of other people's banners. Like, my, no, you're not going to be fun of mine.
We're totally going to be like, my banner beats your banner because I killed Diablo.
That's perfect, because you can't kick someone out of your game.
Exactly.
If it's irritating to you, you'll have to leave and lose all of your stacks in Nephilim Valor.
Exactly.
Why is losing all the stacks in Nephilim Valor such a big deal?
I know, it isn't.
It isn't, it's just irritating.
Okay, all right.
chats have been changed. Players can now change their font color per channel and as well as the size.
So I can finally read what you guys are writing to me. Thank you.
Which, thanks a lot, Blizzard. Now we can't write dirty things to her. Clicking on items linked in chat will now provide a comparison tooltip based on what you're currently wearing. Novel. Several additional improvements have been made to in-game chat to increase usability. Because I guess that means what? Emoticons?
You already give me all the curvy emoticons.
I do. I put effort into my emoticons.
You do.
Crafting!
Your table flipping.
Crafting materials now stack up to 500. Just a refresher, they used to stack up to 100. Just as another refresher, everything else that used to stack past 100 stacked up to 1,000.
Like Tome of Secrets?
Yeah, Tomes of Secrets stack to 1,000, but everything else stacks to 500. Because the programmers are the smart. Jeweler designs that drop in the world now show up as rare quality to make them even more visible on the ground. I've never even seen one drop, so I wouldn't even know if I walked past it.
Ditto.
Salvage now uses the required equip level of an item instead of the base item level to determine what components the item will be salvaged into. So remember that those level 63 items that you have that have reduced level? Yeah, they're not as good as previously indicated. So, that's bleh. Crafting reagents can now be converted up to the next highest level at the blacksmith at a ratio of 10 to 1, which is neat. Tomes of Training can now be converted to the next highest level. Same way the reagents could. 10 to 1. The cast time for identifying rare items has been reduced to 1 second. I really think that there should be a toggle. Steve, you would you agree with this? Say that there's a toggle in-game that makes it so they just are automatically identified when they drop?
That would be nice.
Because I don't see much of a reason for it anymore. I mean, come on.
It's to waste your time.
It really is. And I like this one. I like this one. They say cast time for identifying legendary items has been increased to 4 seconds.
Like it matters.
I know, right? Like somebody's
It matters when you guys are yelling at me because I can't resist by identifying it.
Honestly, if you get a legendary item...
Link it.
I don't see why anyone would be like... Man, I'm not even going to pick this up because it takes 4 whole seconds to identify. Anyway. The location of legendary items will now be marked by a column of light as well as a ping on the minimap the first time they drop and will now sound and have a new sound has been added for legendary items when they drop.
Best thing ever.
Is that? I think that's pretty awesome, because now there's like a column of light. So the people who...
That's what they do in Spearcore.
They do a column of light, yeah. But it's just for legendary items now.
That's fine with me. I like that.
Affixes on items will now roll their level based on the level of monsters killed, rather than the item's level. Remember once upon a time when they were all like, hey, we're going to let the really high level items drop even down there in hell mode. And everybody was like, wow, that's cool. I can play at the difficulty that I enjoy and still find something nice. Yeah, they're now telling you, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
They're taking it away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what level your item's level is. It matters now the level of the monster killed. Is that like, that's
well,
so stupid.
That encourages people not to keep running past the elite mobs.
Well, that encourages people to buy their gear and go up into the higher levels of Inferno instead of playing where they enjoy in the game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm all for the different strokes. Personally, I enjoy Act 3 of Inferno, but I don't see it reasonable to force someone who enjoys playing in Hell, the end of Hell mode, or Act 1 of Inferno, to play in Act 3 when they don't enjoy it.
See, when I originally read this statement, when you had written it down, I was thinking that it had something to do with the level of the monster. I wasn't thinking about the numerical, like 1 to 60. I was thinking of, oh, this is a rare or an elite or whatnot. And I thought, you know, it meant the better the monster was, the better your gear was.
Well, they do refer to level. They even say later in this very sentence, rather than the item's level, which means to me that they aren't talking about whether it's an elite or rare. But I see how
that could be confused. But when I first read it, that's what I thought. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. But now I'm starting to go, oh, my God.
Yeah, if they based it on, you know, the rares and elites being the best, you know, items dropped, I'd find that to be more reasonable than this.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, moving on. Class-specific items will now drop more often. Sweet! Oh. I always wanted to fill my entire chest with just quivers.
Just quivers.
Just quivers. Just everything quivers. Quivers, quivers, quivers.
Didn't they reduce the drop rate of quivers, like, not that long ago?
If it ain't at zero, it ain't right. I hate quivers.
I hope to God there is the rest of this sentence, which says, class-specific for your class that you're playing.
I really hope that's
what they mean.
Yeah, I
because
hope that
would be
means.
Nice. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Items below item level 58 no longer drop in Inferno mode. Wow. That's crazy. The difficulty now is going to drop items for that difficulty.
Oh my God!
Whoa. Square quality items no longer drop in Inferno difficulty. And I know I was complaining to Kete about this. Square quality gems require tomes of jewel crafting.
Right.
To make... Tomes of Jewel Crafting didn't drop an Inferno difficulty, but the square quality gems did. That bothered me so bad. Because that's how they had the game put together.
Somebody made a mistake.
Yeah. So now square quality gems no longer drop an Inferno difficulty. You're just going to find the next one up from that. So
Star.
That's going to be nice. No, it's, what is it?
Flawless Square.
Flawless Square. Thank you.
Okay.
Flawless.
False
they should make it drop radiant squares.
They really, yeah, I know, right? Monk class skill bonuses can now roll on shields. Whoa, boy. Slow down there.
You're moving too
fast. Oh, man. That's, anyone who wanted to know, if you, that's what it says, word for word. Monk class skill bonuses can now roll on shields, so you better start typing up your, hey, nerf monks. Letter.
Well, I think I'm going to take my monk to 60 now because of this.
Oh, boy. that one change, that did it for me right there.
That's going to fix everything.
The 0.5 spirit regeneration. Oh, my God.
Oh, wonderful. All right, moving on. Monsters.
I feel like monks are on the food stamps of Diablo.
They really are. Oh my god.
Sorry.
Monsters. They're
y'all will be hating on monks now.
Additional health per additional player in multiplayer games has been reduced on monsters from 75% to 70%. So each additional player is going to add only 70% instead of 75% to your monsters. Damage and health of monsters level 50 to 63 have been reduced to coincide with the addition of monster power. This is the conversation we had last week about them, you know, throwing the nerf bat at Inferno, yet not the other difficulties. Well, guess what? They're telling us here that they're going to include Hell Mode in that nerf.
At least half of it.
That's better than nothing. You can pretty much walk through Normal Mode and Nightmare with your eyes closed if you figure out how to play your class. So
unless you're holding down the space bar and playing a barbarian and not hitting the skeletons that are 5 feet away.
Yeah, good job, by the way, Liz.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's the laughing skeleton. Zomigans.
Why would you be playing a barb anyway?
I know,
because
right?
It was hardcore and I wanted it to die. Plus it was the naked challenge and I wanted to see her booty.
Y'all are both fired. Okay. There's a bunch of monster changes we're not going to go into, except for the one cool one which we're going to make fun of. The cool up, in quotes, has been increased on the fallen lunatic's suicide power from 1 to 3 seconds to 2 to 5 seconds, giving players a more predictable time to kill them or run away before they explode.
Okay, who's
going to
start? Who's
gonna
start?
Go for it, Liz. It's all you.
No, I want somebody else to go because, yeah, I got
angry. Well, first up, it's either called a cooldown or a warm-up time. But let's not even go into that. First, let's go here. They never had a 1 second cooldown before. Unless you're counting the time that they bum rush me in that 1 seconds. How's that going to differ in a 2 second cooldown? Honestly.
You'll buy in 2 seconds instead of 1 second.
Yeah,
seriously, is this your argument?
Well, what, do you got something better?
Yeah, because I can't tell what any of my enemies are doing because all I'm doing is getting, frozen and arcane damage, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like you're going to stop and say, excuse me, kind sir, are you a fallen lunatic?
Yeah.
And he'll be, yes, I am. And by the way, you only have half a second left before I explode. You're not going to have that happen.
They're the little fat green guys, aren't they?
How can I tell? Because all I can see is just ice exploding everywhere.
They
go, oh my god, those little lasers are coming at me. I better move. And that's amazing if I can even remember to do that, to tell you the truth, because you got to see me play.
yeah, we have. I mean, what?
What?
All right. But that's all the patch notes. Well, actually, we omitted a lot. We omitted everything that had to do with class changes, because I'm sure that they're gonna play with that a lot. Between now and the release. So if you want to see class changes that are currently live on the PTR, I recommend checking out this on Diablo3.com, the forums on Diablo3.com. Check it out. It's the PTR 1.0.5 patch notes. All right, moving on. This came, I believe, from Lylira, the GM Lylira, says, how to change monster power. Gave us a great little guide, which we augmented only slightly. Says, similar to the player X command in Diablo 2, monster power is a system designed to give players more control over how challenging the enemies are in each difficulty. Step 1. Open up your in-game options menu, usually by pressing escape, and select the gameplay tab. Alright, y'all ready for this? Step 2. Check the box next to monster power to enable it. Step 3. Open up the quest selection window when you're creating a game. Step 4. Select your designated monster power level from the drop-down box near the bottom of the window under difficulty settings. Step 5. Did I miss a number? I think I missed it. Anyway, step 5. Once you set your monster power level, quest, and difficulty, Click select quest to confirm. Step 6, enter the game. Step 7, question marks. Step 8, profit.
We are underpants, underpants, no.
Oh my god, okay. No monster power is the default setting that the, you know, monster power at zero. Each monster power level will increase the health and damage of monsters, and in return, players will receive scaling bonuses to experience for heroes level 1 through 60, as well as a boost to magic find and gold find for heroes in Inferno, which can stack above the level 300 cap. We already went through this. The option to increase monster power will be available to all players starting at level 1, can be adjusted separately for each difficulty. Well, that's not the interesting part. Here's what is. A note down at the bottom of this blue post said, if you join a multiplayer game, you will adopt the monster level of the party leader of that game. When you leave the party, your monster power level will automatically revert back to the previous setting. So it'll remember what you set for you, but if you enter a game of anyone else's creation, you're stuck with what they've designated the monster power at until you leave the game. Even if they leave, it's still their game that they made.
Is there any way to tell, because maybe one of you guys are inviting me to your game and you got monster power 8 or something and you're like, yeah, come into our game.
Well, I'm going to do that.
I know you are. That's why I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, we are going to do that. So just so you're aware, we are going to get you killed.
Oh, my God. When is that thing coming up?
Why are you dying so much?
When is the patch coming out where you can be invisible online?
That actually did come up in a blue post. They are coming up with a way for you to become invisible instead of being like, you know, AFK or be right back or do not disturb or whatever.
Which doesn't mean anything anyway.
Right. So, you can actually, pretty soon they're going to include a invisible mode for people who just want to be on there invisible and be non-social.
Oh my God. Awesome.
Until someone joins my game and sees David.
I don't mind that. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much just how it is. They're just like,
that's going to piss
games.
People off.
I know. All right, moving on. Data miners have discovered that the Heart of the Swarm expansion for StarCraft II, which will soon be announced for release, will include Blade Wings, an on-use item that can be toggled on and off from your inventory and will make two large Blood Queen wings appear on your back. This will probably only be included in the collector's edition of StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm, same way as Diablo III collector's edition included the angel wings.
So this has anything to do with Diablo? I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just asking.
No, it is a little neat little toy StarCraft II, but it looks neat.
I was just asking.
Yeah.
It's a gimmick.
Moving on. Diablo 3 Heroes Rise Darkness Falls ebook has begun to have... It has been identified from tomes on Amazon.com, and the drop rates would indicate that it, too, will soon be on iTunes.
You stupid! You know, seeing as it already is a book, it is a tome.
Well, but they were unidentified. And now they're identified. And they're... Anyway, it's a collection of terrifying tales based on the award-winning video game of Diablo 3. So check it out. They, as I said, it is on Amazon.com, and to the best of my knowledge, hasn't shown up on iTunes, but it should be there soon. All right, that's it for the news. I'm sorry if it took forever, but I promise you, we cut out pretty much everything we could from this week to make it as tiny as possible. But I don't think we even scratch the surface on how much there was in store for this week.
Well, we can save it for a later day. Now, I do have a question, and somebody else brought this up on the forums. I already asked that about what time should we see patch 1.0.5?
Yes, and you know what? You need to keep asking me every week. I'd like to say that we're closer and closer to it being released.
Really? Because the time has passed? No, I'm just messing.
The PTR... It means that it's just around the corner. It really is. We are within weeks of it being released. Maybe 3 weeks, I'd say, is probably the best thought process of when this patch will be released, if I had to say off the top of my head. But no official release date has been set at this time.
Now, when they announce things like this, do they usually give a timeline? Because this is kind of angering me now.
Well,
because...
no. Blizzard has usually lived by the standard of we release it when we're ready and it's done.
Yeah, but that could be a year or two from now.
You're right.
Well, that's true, because remember last time they were talking about how the guy pre-ordered in 2008.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, they release it in their own time. But the way that they've always done it with previous games, you usually see it. They usually only let people test it when they know that it's just about ready.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yep.
I don't all like right.
Reading. Unfortunately, we will not be doing the hard corner in this segment of the episode. We will be segmenting this episode into a part two. We would like to say that if you'd like to reach any of us, you can catch me on Twitter at DEnforce, Liz at Mistress_LeBeau. Battle tags, you can catch me at DN number 1737, Liz at Mistress number 1359, and Kete at number 1816. Remember, you can catch us anytime at DiabloOffTheRecord.com, DiabloOffTheRecord at gmail.com, and QuestGamingNetwork.com for our portal site. Remember, Diablo Off the Record is a Quest Gaming Network podcast in association with Middle Earth Network, written by all the hosts of Diablo Off the Record. Never give out your account information, grab a Battle.net authenticator, and install antivirus and antivirus software. Go ahead, and if you'd like to continue the episode, check out episode 22, part 2. See you there.